Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
Good evening. We are so glad that you are with us on tonight on our Tuesday night Bible study. We are very excited that you decided to tune in tonight. And on behalf of our pastor, Bishop Omar Zachary, and his beautiful wife, Lady Pamela Zachary, and the Praise Tabernacle Church family, we would like to say good evening and welcome to Tuesday Night Bible Study. Tonight, I am your host. My name is Evangelist Dove Stanton. We usually have our own elder, Richard Taylor, but he will not be with us on tonight. So I am stepping in and substituting on his tonight. We ask that you get your pencil, your paper, and your Bibles, and join along with our teacher on tonight. Tonight we have one of our great teachers, Elder Derek Oliver. We're excited about the word that he's going to bring forward on tonight to go into the lesson with him, get a word from God that's going to allow us to continue to run on and continue to see what the end is going to be. I'm going to say a quick prayer, and then I'm going to turn it over to our own Elder Derek Oliver. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your love, your peace, your joy. We thank you for life, health, and strength. We thank you for every good and perfect gift because it comes from you. Father God, we pray as Elder Oliver brings the word on tonight. We pray, Father God, that we would listen with clarity and understanding and wisdom and knowledge. We pray, Father God, that you would give us something out of this word that would help us to leave this Bible study not the same way we came on tonight, but to leave it in a better understanding of who you are in our lives. We pray for the teacher. Pray, Father God, that you would just anoint his tongue with power and authority to bring the word forward. And we thank you for this day, for this is the day that you've made. We rejoice and we're made glad in it. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to our own Elder Derek Oliver.
Thank you, Evangeline Stanton. I really appreciate that intro. Just supporting me tonight. I'm going to get right into the word tonight. I'm not going to try not to be long, but I think I got something because normally these messages hit me before I bring them out, or if I'm going through something, the Lord will give me a message, and it's mainly for me, and tonight will be no different. I'm thinking I'm teaching to myself tonight. I had a title, Are You Climbing to See Jesus? And it's a familiar scripture. I've preached this. I've heard it 1,000 times, but I'm going to Luke, the 19th chapter, the first 10 verses, and it's talking about Zacchaeus. And there's some things I want to look at differently than I've, because I've seen something in here, and it directly hit me. And when it hit me, I'm like, wow, I've been preaching. I never saw it like this before. So I'm going to try to teach it the way the Lord, the Holy Spirit leads me to take it tonight. First and foremost, I want to give honor to the Lord, who's the head of my life. I want to thank him for my bishop, first lady, all the elders, all the evangelists at Praise Tabernacle. I just want to say thank y'all. I appreciate you. Y'all have helped me go to a whole nother level spiritually. I really do mean that. So I just want to send my thanks to y'all, to my wife, who's always listening in. I just want to send a special thanks, shout out to her, just for supporting me and putting up with me and you know, for all of that. And I just want to wish her a happy anniversary. We're celebrating an anniversary next week, a wedding anniversary. Pray for us as we get another year under our belt. And I would say this year has been the most, I want to say, outrageous year in a good way, in a spiritual way. But the devil has attacked us. But we were ready because the Lord took us to another level. And we know when you go to another level, it's not going to be without resistance from the devil. But anyway, I just want to send a special shout out to her on tonight as we get ready to celebrate over the weekend and through next week, our anniversary. So with that being said, God is good. And when I was preparing my message, I normally put the scriptures out. I'm normally one of the ones that put it out late, but I actually had this out yesterday because the Lord said, this is what you need. And I said, I've preached this before. I even taught this before. Why I've been doing it again, and I've seen something in it that I was going through. And sometimes we as Christians can get complacent, and we can get in a normal religious routine. And I'm going to show you some of this thing in a minute. But before I get in it, it's also for people who are looking to make a decision. And when you're looking to make a decision, we all oftentimes want to consult with people. You really don't have to consult with no one but Jesus. So tonight, again, I'm going to use my title, Are You Willing to Climb to See Jesus? And what are you willing to climb over to see Jesus? Because that's very important. And we're going to start in Luke, the 19th chapter. I'm going to start from verse 1. I'm going to read all 10. And then I'm actually going to go back and break down these things. So I want you to see some things that's in here that may can help you, and some things that you didn't even realize, because there's some things in here I didn't even realize that I'm going to break it down. Hopefully that you'll get a good word out of this tonight. Luke 19, 1 through 10, and I'm going to read. And I'm coming out of the King James Version of the Bible. 19, it says, And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day salvation has come to this house, for much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And again, I'm going to say, what are you willing to climb over to see Jesus? And Zacchaeus, just to give you a little background, he was a tax collector. But he was a crook because he would take some of the money, pocket it, and then give the rest to the Roman government. So he was a thief. He was robbing, but he was a rich thief. And the Bible says that he was a sinner. He was a sinner. But I really want to take my text from verse 3. And it says in verse 3, Luke 19:3, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. Now, I like verse 3 because there's a lot in verse 3 that I never saw that I'm going to try to break down today for those that don't believe and even for those that do believe. He wanted to see Jesus for who he was, but he could not for the press. I like the word press, but if you look in the NIV version, it would say the crowd that was around Jesus. And we know that the people that was around Jesus, we know that Jesus always walked with a crowd of people. Most importantly, he had 12 disciples around him. We're going to call those the church crowd. You had the other type of people that was around just because they wanted to see what he was going to do. We don't call them the nosy people crowd. We also had those that didn't believe that he was the Messiah, and they were just there to doubt what he was trying to do, and those was the doubting type of crowd. And these are the type of crowds of people in verse 3 that I say that makes up the church. And when I say it makes up the church is because sometimes we go to church, I'm talking to the church folks down, we block other people from seeing Jesus because we think we all are that. We block them. And we don't think that they fit in our way. Now, I'm going to say some things. I'm not particularly saying that our church is like this, but our churches that I've been and people that I know are like this. When we go to church and we see people we don't know, they may not fit our criteria. And we may say, oh, they're not Praise Tabernacle material because of the way they look, because of the way they act. And because we have that attitude, we block them from seeing Jesus. They didn't come to church to see us. They didn't come to church for our policies. They just wanted to come to see Jesus. Zacchaeus just wanted to see Jesus, but the Bible says he couldn't because he was short in stature and because they blocked him. So what he had to do was climb up a tree to see Jesus. He had an interest in seeing Jesus. And when you have an interest in seeing Jesus, are you willing to climb over church people? Are you willing to climb over your family? Are you willing to climb over your friends, over your kids, just to see Jesus? Because sometimes the crowd will block you from seeing Jesus. Your family can block you from seeing Jesus. Your spouses can block you from seeing Jesus. And sometimes you have to climb into a tree, into a high place to see him, away from everybody else, because people can block you from seeing Jesus. Now, I'm going to say a few things because I'm still in verse 3. The press blocked him. And sometimes I like the word press because press, sometimes the crowd can depress you. Have you ever went to church and just got depressed because of the people that was in church? Have you ever went to church and I'm talking to the saved folks. No, I'm not even talking to the sinners. And you went to church and someone just looked at you wrong and it just messed up your whole dilemma. That's because when you were there, you was there. You was part of the crowd. And when you get part of the crowd, you do what the crowd do. You don't have an interest in seeing Jesus because you're so worried about what the crowd is doing. And what we have to do is sometimes we have to climb up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus by yourself. Sometimes you can't even take your spouse with you when you're trying to climb a tree, not because you don't love them, but sometimes you got to do some things to see Jesus by yourself. You have to have an interest in seeing him. And sometimes the spouses or your family or your kids can hinder you from seeing Jesus because you're stuck in a crowd. You're doing what everybody else is doing. You're saying what everybody else is saying. You're shouting because other people are shouting, but you have no interest in seeing Jesus. And what makes this exciting for me, and I'm going to try to be hold myself and try to teach this thing and not preach it, is the fact that he had enough sense to break away from the crowd and climb into a sycamore tree because he knew that Jesus was coming there that day. He knew the crowd was going to, he knew he had to climb into a tree. One of the things that I think I was discussing this with the pastor, when we go work out or we go walking, and sometimes we have our spouses with us, it's not a time for us to talk. Or when me and my wife, we walk in the park, I can't talk to her because I'm focused on what I'm doing. I'm focused on trying to get my meditation, to hear a word from the Lord. Not to say that her conversation would hinder me, but we have an understanding that when we walk, we got to walk. But it's not a time to talk because we're there to do a mission. And some things you got to do by yourself. And sometimes you have to go up into a high place to see Jesus. And what I like about this is when Zacchaeus went high into the, he had an interest in seeing Jesus. Now I'm going to talk to the unsaved folks. When you have an interest in seeing Jesus and you separate yourself from the crowd and you get into a high place, Jesus will meet you where you're at. And if we go in, and when we go to verse 5, it says, and when Jesus came in Luke chapter 19, verse 5, and it says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. Now, before I finish verse 5, Zacchaeus had an interest in seeing Jesus. And when you have an interest in seeing Jesus, sometimes you have to get away from the crowd because they will block you. The crowd will sometimes give you advice on what to do. And sometimes the advice isn't coming from Jesus. It's coming from people in the crowd. And the people in the crowd are only focused on themselves. And I like to do this study, and I did it on Sunday in church. And not just this Sunday, but other Sundays. If you ever notice when the pastor gets done preaching, everybody want to run up and talk to the pastor after service is over with. And I've always wondered, even when my father, why everybody won't talk? Why can't they just go home? Why they want to talk to the pastor? See, because they're blocking other people from trying to see Jesus. I'm just going to be honest with you. There's some people who need to have the conversation, but everybody every day that know the pastor want to go up and talk to him because they're blocking other people that need to get to him. I know people don't like what I'm saying right now. They probably say, no, that's not true, but that's pretty much as true, because after every sermon, after every service, everybody want to flock to the pastor like he Jesus. And want to get his approval on certain things. But if he's following Jesus and he's looking up for Jesus, we ought to be doing the same thing. But what the disciples in the crowd was doing was they was around Jesus as if they was his bodyguard. So could no one get to him? Could no one touch him or receive him? But the sinner had enough sense to climb into a sycamore tree to see Jesus. I hope I'm getting my point across. I'm not saying everyone is trying to block people from Jesus. But if you just look at this in the natural, and if church folks, and I'm part of church folks, sometimes I get in the way of people that probably need to have a conversation. But because I'm so deep in the word and I'm so eloquent and I'm so got the position of church, we can block other people from seeing Jesus and not even know that we're doing it. And then I know a lot of people get offended when I say that. But it's the truth. It's the truth. We come to church to serve the Lord, not man. But we want to act right, because the man is the man, and because we close to the man, like that's going to get us to heaven. Now, I love my pastor. I love him to death.
But at the end of the day, by me being his best friend or being close to him is not going to get me to heaven. I don't care how much he laughs. I don't care how much he say, you're a good person. That's not what's going to get me to heaven. If I'm seeking Jesus for myself, and I want to throw this in there too. I hope I'm not going too fast, and I hope you understand where I'm going. But every day, my job is to seek Jesus. This isn't just for the sinner man. This is for the saints as well. We have to climb over some stuff to see Jesus. And in order to climb over, we got to climb over some church folks to see Jesus. We just have to. Can you still hear me, Evangelist?
Yes, yes.
Okay. We have to get over ourselves sometime and look for Jesus. But if we get caught in the crowd, if we get caught doing what everybody else is doing, this is why so many Christians are depressed. This is why so many Christians go through so many issues, is because we're around the crowd and we're not willing to climb into a tree to get away from everybody else. Sometimes you just got to get away from people to see Jesus for yourself. Mm-hmm. The sinner man wanted to know Jesus for himself. He didn't want the policies of Jesus. He didn't want the hearsay of Jesus, people's philosophy of, he wanted to know Jesus for himself. My walk with the Lord, and I just, it hit me this week. Sometimes, Evangelist Stan, I just fit in with the crowd. I know a few scriptures. I'm Elder Oliver. I'm good. I don't need to climb into a tree to see Jesus. I know Jesus personally. But see, sometimes situations occur where you have to get away from people so Jesus can see that you have an interest in him so he can have an interest with you. And as soon as that man saw Jesus and he had an interest in seeing Jesus, he didn't touch Jesus. He didn't throw a rock to get Jesus' attention. He just had the interest of knowing Jesus. And this is where we as church folks get mixed up. We want to touch everybody, give everyone our philosophies and a few scriptures that we know and tell them this is how you get close to Jesus. No, if they have an interest in seeing Jesus, we need to get out of the way so Jesus can go to work. We mess up people sometimes trying to minister to them too much. And when Jesus saw him, this isn't like the woman with the touch to him of the garment that touched him, and he wanted to know who touched him. This man just wanted to know him and had to climb up in a tree, separating himself from people. And when you have the interest of knowing him, he'll have the interest of acknowledging you. And Jesus told him to come down from the tree. He said, come down. And when he came down, he received him, the Bible says, joyfully. Now, at the time, he ain't had a conversation with this man. All he know is he wanted to know Jesus. And to get him away from the crowd, Jesus said, I'm going to go to your house where you feel comfortable at, because evidently the people around me were blocking you from seeing me. Evidently, they didn't want you to get to me, so I'm going to go to your house. And when the man came down and Jesus went to his house, look what the crowd does. The crowd start gossiping and whispering Jesus was going home to be a guest of a sinner. That's what we do in church. We block people. We judge people. But when it's time for them to get accepted, we want to murmur certain things to one another. Watch out for this one. Watch out for that one, because something ain't right with them. They're not the Praise Tabernacle church type. They cause the trouble. That's what we do. Instead of, when we come to church, we ought to come to church seeing Jesus. And when I went to church this Sunday, and this is where this message came up, I was listening to the message, and I was saying to myself, I need to see Jesus. But my attitude wasn't like, I wanted to be like the crowd. And I thought I had an excuse for having an attitude. I thought I had a reason. And my spiritual mind was messed up. I had to get it together because I didn't want to block anyone from seeing Jesus. But when I was there, the Spirit was talking to me, and I was watching people, and I'm like, okay. And the Lord was dealing with me. Now, I'm not knocking anyone for how they pray, but I was dealing with myself. So when I'm talking, really talking about myself, We come to church, we know who's going to shout. We know who's going to dance. It's just routine. And my question is, are you really coming to see Jesus? Because once we come to see Jesus, all of this stuff that I'm talking about is irrelevant. And the Lord had to chastise me through the message. It's not about me. I'm just there to see Jesus. And whatever the preacher preached, it's about Jesus. And it's supposed to affect me because I'm there to see Jesus, not everybody else. Now, I like fellowshipping with people, but when we come to church, we got it messed up. We're supposed to come to see Jesus. And then I just wondered, and I thought about it when my father was pastoring. After the service was over, even when the bishop, when the service is over, people running after them. And when you get done preaching, and I just want to send this note because a lot of preachers know what I'm talking about when I say this. When you get done preaching or teaching, you need a minute, not just to restore yourself, but when you're preaching, you're under the Holy Spirit. And when you get under the Holy Spirit, you get like a high. And when you come down from that high, the last thing you want to do is talk about where you was just at because you haven't – it's hard to go from the spirit world back into the it's a hard process to do. And sometimes when you preach – I don't think a lot of preachers will admit it, but we don't even know what we preached after we get done preaching and we didn't settle down because we were on such a high. That's why it's very important that we restore the preachers and the ministers when they get done teaching and preaching because they're on a high, but so many people want to flood them. And when I say they're flooding them, that's blocking. We're not really looking at Jesus. We're just looking at the man. Because if you was really looking at Jesus, you really wouldn't really care what the man was saying. You would care about what he was saying in the spirit. You want to seek Jesus. That was a great word. That word hit me. The conviction hits in. Or you heard something that's going to get you through the next day. It ain't got nothing to do with the man because the man is being led by the spirit. And the spirit should be talking to you. So when you come to church or you come to see Jesus, the whole process of it ought to be about Jesus, not about nobody else. Jesus and you. This man wanted to see Jesus. He had to separate himself from the crowd. But if you ever notice in church, nigga, watch what the crowd does. Watch how they move and they who they connect with. You'll see the clicks. You'll see the you'll see it. And then you're gonna ask yourself, why? What's going on? You then heard from the you heard the word of God, and once you heard the word of God, not saying that we can't fellowship, so I don't want you to take it the wrong way. I'm saying it should have something to do with you spiritually. Minister Tobert preached on it's not about you. Now, when he was preaching, he really did a great job preaching it and teaching it because after the service was over with, I had to go home and I had to check some things out. That means the Spirit was dealing with me on the message. It had nothing to do with Minister Tobert preaching. I could tell him, great job, you did an awesome job. But the Holy Spirit already told me he didn't have a great job because he didn't hit some spots in my life. And because I know he did a great job because it convicted me in some areas. And because it convicted me in some areas, okay, I don't need let the brother... He didn't hear from the Lord. He didn't give it to us. It's our job to seek Jesus for it. Minister Tobert can't get you to heaven. Bishop can't get you to heaven. I can't get you to heaven. You have to seek the Lord for yourself and get away from people, and then the Lord will start to clean you up. It's not my philosophy. It's not Praise Tabernacle philosophy. You and Jesus. Once Jesus went home with this man, look what Jesus did. He just sat there. This man made his own confession. He didn't give him no scriptures. He didn't say, you got to do this, do that, or do this. He made his own confession. And when you make your own confession, you talking to the Lord. It ain't got nothing to do with the church. It ain't got nothing to do with the pastor. It ain't got nothing to do with the bishop. It's between you and the Lord. So when you confess your faults before the Lord, you're opening up your relationship between you and him. It has nothing to do with the crowd. The crowd should never be a part of your conversation with the Lord. We didn't make the crowd, the people around Jesus. We consult with them before we consult with Jesus. That's why we're in a lot of trouble. That's why our families are in a lot of trouble. That's why our teenagers is in a lot of trouble. And I just want to send this, throw this in the gumbo while I'm out there. I was listening to someone today, and this was a Christian person, saying that abstinence isn't realistic in life. And I didn't want to argue because they were sold on that point. I just turned, just had to get away from the conversation. But the reason the world and the church is so messed up today is because we're consulting with the crowd. And that's just people that go to church. And I'm just going to be honest with you. There's a lot of elders. There's a lot of deacons. There's a lot of pastors that go to church that's in the crowd. You have very few people climbing up the sycamore tree to see Jesus. Because once you see Jesus, you're going to be convicted of sin. You're going to be convicted of not living holy. You're going to be convicted of the things of this world that's not of God. If God say don't do it and you still do it, you're going against God's word. And that's what's going on in the church today. Zacchaeus was a sinner that had enough sense to get away from the crowd to see Jesus for who he was. And when Jesus saw him, Jesus recognized him. Jesus can see you right where you're at, whether you're saved or you're not saved. If you have an interest in him, he'll take an interest in you. And when he take an interest in you, he will listen to you. This man was a sinner talking to Jesus, and he gave his own confession. Now, I know a lot of people ain't going to agree with what I'm about to say. You don't need a lot of people around you to get saved. You don't need a lot of people around you to live holy. The Holy Spirit will convict you if you're really seeking Jesus. If I went to church Sunday and I didn't get convicted, I would just been part of the crowd. But the message convicted me. It's not about there all the time. And I'm just using that. Every message that I listen to, it convicts me to some point. But Sunday's message, it just convicted me because I was there for the wrong reason. And I can be man enough, elder enough to admit that. Now, I went in one way, but I came out different. My wife was gone, Evangelist Stanton. I was mad.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff was going on at the house. Stuff was just breaking.
Right.
It seemed like every time I woke up, stuff was just ching, ching. We got to spend more money. She halfway across the country chilling. I'm at home dealing with real life stuff. Now, I say this jokingly, so don't, please, people don't email me about my wife being on vacation. I'm just playing. She know I'm joking with her. But it caused me to have to look at my life differently because I'm allowing things to lose focus off of Jesus. And when I walked into church, I can be man enough to be like, I wasn't thinking about Jesus.
Hmm.
I was with the crowd. I was just there. Bishop, I was just there to show my face. But my mind, my attitude, wasn't right. And that could block people from seeing Jesus. It really can block them. I'm taking up time that someone else could be taking up time to talk to the bishop or talk to the evangelist. But I'm blocking them because I'm there. Why? Because everybody else there. I'm saying amen because everybody else saying amen. I'm shouting because everybody else shouts. That's not the way to be in church. When you go to church, you got to go to church to see Jesus. And once the Lord, the word hits you, you ought to have a response. You ought to get a little bit better, or you ought to shout a little bit more because you just heard from the Lord, and the Lord is talking to you. That's why when you see me preaching and I go into my little, it ain't got nothing to do with no one. I just heard from the Lord, and the Lord is leading me, and he's got, that's exciting, a blessing. Because he's not doing that with everybody. And then sometime I had a preacher just the other day call me and prophesy a lie to me. And I said, I know the Lord ain't told you that because the Lord ain't told me that. And the Lord ain't told me to do something. And it's further from the left, in left field somewhere. How in the world do you say the Lord told you that and he ain't told me that? Now, I don't want to get in that conversation, but a lot of times things will throw you off, to throw the tension off me trying to see Jesus. Evangelist Stan, I'm sorry. Did you have anything you wanted to say?
That's okay, Elder. I do. That's okay. You were going. So, wow, there is a lot of meat in this. And thank you. A lot of meat in this. Because I'm looking at, you know, just at the beginning of chapter 19 in the first few verses, you know, it's saying, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Well, right before that, Jesus had healed a man's sight, and this man received his sight and immediately, you know, began to glorify God and began to praise God, and all the people, when they began to give praise unto God. So I don't really know how Zacchaeus, you know, found out that Jesus was passing through Jericho. It could have been because of the crowd. But I love that Jesus is so intentional that he knows what area he needs to go through to meet you where you are at, because that's exactly what he does. Here it was, Zacchaeus may have heard about this Jesus of Nazareth, you know, healing somebody because they were praising God, and there was the crowd. And here was Zacchaeus. I mean, I don't know what he was thinking, so I can't tell you what he was thinking, but here was Zacchaeus like, wow, I heard about this Jesus bringing sight to somebody, and he's entering and he's passing through Jericho, so I want to go, even though I'm a rich man, because the word in verse 2 says he was chief among the publicans and he was rich. So here he was, a rich man, chief among the publicans. Yes, like you said, you know, he was a thief and people knew him to be dishonest. He was a rich thief. But here he was hearing about this Jesus of Nazareth and was saying, wow, I got to get to him. I got to see who this Jesus is. So I'm going to do whatever I need to do. And because I'm short in stature, but not just in stature, not his physical stature, but his spiritual stature as well, because he wasn't an honest person. Because, you know, he was a thief. You know, there was things going on inside of him that were not of God. And he knew it. He knew it. So here he was saying, okay, I got to see who this Jesus is. You know, you don't know what he was thinking. He could have been thinking, you know, maybe my eyes need to be opened now, because of everything that I'm doing. It's a lot of meat in this. Thank you, Elder. It is a lot of meat in this.
And one of the things that I'm glad you brought out is he could have heard about the crowd or about the miracle that he has done, but he was not spiritually like,
right,
I'm going to say, the disciples. He wasn't like,
right,
that. He wasn't trying,
right,
to. He had an unclean spirit, I like to say, but he wanted,
right,
to see Jesus. And
Jesus,
sometimes,
right,
people want to see Jesus and not see us. And sometimes,
right,
us is get in the way. Elder Olive can get in the way. And I just saying that, and I'm going to use myself as an example because I'm an elder. You know, you got to,
right,
come before me. Before you get to the bit, you got to talk to me. What do you need? I have nothing to do with someone wanting to see Jesus. And if anyone wants to see Jesus, when they come in the doors, they ought not see me. They ought not see any. They ought to just be able to see Jesus. But sometimes we get in the way of blocking people from seeing Jesus. And in my experience in church, I see that, and I see almost every we get in the way. And sometimes we just got to get out of the way. And then when I say this, sometimes I want to see Jesus for who he is every single day. So I ought to be climbing trees to see him what am I willing to sacrifice to see Jesus? And my question to the panel and to everyone that's listening, what are you willing to do to see Jesus? Are you willing to separate from your family to see Jesus? Are you willing? And that's a real answer for me, and I have to say yes. Experience over the last few months, the Lord, I got to get away from my family to see Jesus. Because as long as I let them Negroes enter my space, I will never see Jesus. I'm too busy getting an attitude. They're taking me away. And when I say they are, it's really me, allowing them to take me away from seeing Jesus. Jesus wants me to climb a tree to see him by myself. And if you're not going through, and when I say this, people go through things every day. Life just happens. We go through things, and the devil wants to distract us from seeing Jesus. If he had his way, he would want to keep us with the crowd. He wants to keep us entertained with shouting. He wants to keep us with everything is good. There's never, you don't have to do nothing. And we all have sin in us. We all have weights that we're trying to get rid of. And in order to get rid of it, we have to climb away from the people that may be causing the weight. We may have to get away from some of the people that may be causing us sin. And my question is, what are you willing to do to see Jesus? Because you Amen. Cannot see Jesus and function in sin at the same time. I don't care what people tell you, you cannot do that. The reason this sinner had to connect with Jesus because he had an issue, he had the desire to know who Jesus was. That's what the scripture said. He wanted to know Jesus. And in people that want to know Jesus, is when it comes, it's not about me. It's not about anybody that goes to the, it's about them seeing Jesus. How do they get Jesus? They're going to come to church. They're going to hear a word. And then when they hear the word, they're going to get convicted. When Jesus came down and went to that man's house, Jesus sat there and had dinner with him. This is one of my most favorite things. Jesus was cool. He didn't say nothing. He just sat there, had dinner with him. And the man made his own confession. And because he made a confession, Evangelist Stanton, I'm going to make a confession too. Now, you've been knowing me for a long time, and we do Bible study. And when we first started out Bible study, you would come on the line, I'm on the line, pastor on the line, Elder Boulette's on the line, and we used to talk about sports. Everyone had their favorite team. You heard those conversations, right?
Yeah,
and
right.
I've made conversations, and I'm just using this because I want to show you something, and I'm going to switch it spiritually. There's nothing that the bishop can say to make me want to root for the Atlanta Falcons. I'm still a fan. Okay. But you heard us in conversation. You heard us. There's nothing,
right.
And we can get started, and he'll text me, I'll text him back, and this could go on all week. We texting each other. I hate the Falcons, he hates the Steelers. He sees something, he'll call, not just him, your husband, Deacon Stanton, he would do the same thing. We all, you're talking about who got the best team. Well, Evangelist Stanton, this is a true story. This week, a couple weeks ago, you know, Minister Tolbert, he don't bother nobody. He just very quiet, cool, and collective. He made a post on Facebook about the Atlanta Hawks. And Evangelist Stan, here I go. I tried to bully him. I texted him about Atlanta wasn't going to win against I forget who they were playing. I texted him. I said they're not going to win against the Philadelphia 76ers. And he did something that the pastor didn't do. He did something Elder Blewett didn't do. He did something that even Deacon Stanton didn't do. When he commented me back, he didn't say nothing negative. He was very positive about Atlanta. He didn't scream. He didn't get in an uproar. He didn't text me 50,000 times. He just was very calm, cool, and collective. He texted me the facts about the game. I got a little mad because he didn't get mad. I got a little upset because he wasn't jawing with me. So I took my 76er jersey, I took a picture, and I sent it to him, trying to get him revved up. He never got revved up at all. And at the end of the game, he just texted me, why did I stop talking? Did you see the score of the game? He didn't say nothing.
Wow.
But his sack, and when I saw him Sunday, I said, you know what? You done made me a believer about the Hawks. I'm going to root for them. And I may even go to the game if they make it to the final. Now, what I'm saying about that is I'm saying this. Sometimes we could block people from seeing Jesus because it's all about us. But whenever you're being led by the Spirit, it's not something that's going to be sharp. It's something that's going to be very subtle. Jesus was very subtle when he went to Zacchaeus' house. He didn't say nothing. He didn't have to hype who he was. He didn't have to give his credentials. When I'm talking to the pastor, I'm saying, Steelers got 6 Super Bowls. How many Atlanta got? I'm putting facts out there. I'm putting why you should do this. Jesus didn't have to put who he was. He just sat there. And because his light is so bright and it can't be in darkness, the man confessed his own sins. He confessed it. The moral of my story is sometimes you ain't got to say nothing to no one in order to change them. You just got to show up and be there and listen to them. Because they know that you're there. They know that you're walking with Jesus. You ain't got to say too much of anything. Preaching and saving souls is not hard because Jesus is doing all the work. All we got to do sometimes is show up and shut
That's
up
good.
And let them That's make right. their own confession. So the moral of my story is, yeah, I told on myself, yes, I'm rooting for the Father. Yeah, it took Minister Tolbert to get me there. But now if he would have acted like the pastor and started sending me messages, not knocking what the pastor was doing, but I'm trying to say this in a spiritual sense. Because what we talk about is really nonsense. But in a spiritual sense, we do this in the spirit world. We want to hype ourselves up. I'm Elder Oliver. I've been saved 40-plus years. Oh, that don't mean nothing. Because I can quote Romans 10 and 9. Don't mean nothing to a sinner. But me showing up in his house, just being in his house, while the crowd is murmuring in an uproar that I went home with a sinner. And Jesus just sat there. And at the end of the scripture said, salvation, you are a child of Abraham. You are right. You one of us now. He didn't do a whole bunch of dilly-dally stuff that we try to do in church. You really saved if you shout. You really saved if you dance. You saved if you speak in tongues. You got to say amen 10 times in order. You know, all these cliches that gets out there, it blocks people from seeing Jesus. And that's what we ought not do. So when we go to church on Sunday, and this is for everybody, I don't care what church you go to, wherever you're going, you have to go there to see Jesus. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
And I'm just at a place now that everything that goes on in my life, I got to relate it spiritually because I believe the Lord is talking to me. And I know a lot of people who are traditional church people don't like what I'm saying because they want to be the reason that people get saved. And it's not about you and what you know and what you can say and how you do things. All you got to do is show up. And when you show up, you really ain't got to say too many words. And I'm not saying the Lord won't lead you to say something, but when the Lord leads you to say something, then you say it. But a lot of times people say stuff the Lord ain't even told them to say. And that's what gets people in trouble. And that's what blocks people from seeing Jesus. I thought I had to do this. I thought I had to do that. You'd be surprised what my wife thought she had to do in order to speak behind a pulpit. You would be surprised. That's people blocking her from seeing Jesus because people want to be bigger than Jesus. And like the message was, Sunday, it's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
Get out the way. It's not about, I don't have no policy. All I want to do is do what the Lord's called me to do. And sometimes, and I'm about to step on some toes, that's just to show up. But sometimes people can't even show up. They're not even dependable to show up. But when they show up, when they show up, they want to make it about them, not about Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm just going to be honest with you. I just want to read one more thing real quick.
in this verse 10. Well, I'm going to read verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for much as he also is a son of Abraham. Verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save which is lost. What we have to understand is we have to be here to save. We have to be willing to be present in order for people to be saved. We don't have to say a whole lot. We don't have to do a whole lot. We just have to be there. And they'll make their own confession. And when they make their own confession, it's between them and the Lord to clean them up. Jesus went to his house. He didn't tell him to stop stealing the money. He didn't tell him to stop doing this. The man made the confession, and Jesus told him this day. It don't mean we can't. We're not going to have stuff we have to work on. But the same way that man climbed up in the tree and showed the interest in Jesus, it's the same thing we got to do in all our situations. When I'm having trouble in my home, I got to climb up a tree to see Jesus. When I'm having financial troubles, I have to climb up a tree to see Jesus, because it's really about me and him and nobody else. Now, if the Lord gives you a word to tell me, it would be confirmation in my spirit. But sometimes, as of late, people tell me stuff, I just have to shake my head. I said, Lord, ain't saying nothing like that to me. And I'm not trying to be arrogant or smart, but when you have a relationship with Jesus, Jesus is going to come home with me. He's going to tell me which way to go and which way not to go. And for some time, because I've been in church a long time, I used to be that person to try to tell everyone how to live their life. And I was so wrong. So wrong. Now, when I see sinners, I just sit there and let them make their own confession. That's all you got to do. And when you sit there and have dinner with them, and you're intimate with them, and you know them, and they know you, the Holy Spirit will convict them, and they know what to say and what to do. Evangelist Stan, I'm sorry. I can talk all day. I'm sorry. You have anything else you want
to
add?
You don't have to apologize, Elder. You don't have to apologize. You're giving the word. Great word. You're giving the word. I mean, our light is supposed to shine, like you said, that others would see the Christ and not us, because it's not about us. You know, it's not about who we are, or it's not about how great usage of words we have. It's not about what we have on. It's not about what we look like, but it's about Jesus. It's about the Christ that's inside of us that others recognize, because we're lifting up Jesus and he's drawing all men unto him. And like you said, it doesn't have to be elaborate, or somebody don't need to put their hands on you, lay hands on you, or you don't have to stand in a line and have, you know, somebody blow on you. That's not how it is. You know, a lot of this stuff we've just started to do out of show, you know, because if you just simply lift up the name of Jesus, he will draw all men unto him. And it doesn't have to be formal, like you said. It could be very informal, you know. So, no, you good, sir. You good. Great. You know, we need to just find it that it's about Christ and it's not about us. It's not about how we can, you know, eloquent we sound when we give the scripture or how we say it, you know, but the sincerity is in the light that we have, you know, our lights shining, because Christ truly is residing inside of us. So it's not about us. It's about Christ and making sure that others see the Christ in us and not us, you know. Yeah, it's good to compliment people when they give a great word. You know, it is good to compliment people, you know, or just let them know how that word changed your life. But the most important thing is lifting up the name of Jesus, and he will draw all men unto him.
And yeah. I just want to clear something, because when I say, you know, people want to flock to the preacher after the sermon, you know, if you give them a good word and it touched you, I don't mean them type of people. What I mean flocking to people is people
right.
just there in the crowd.
Right.
Just want to be part of something. And
right.
like right hand, like, you know, them and the pastor cool because he's shaking your hand after service. Or y'all having a chat. And it really bothers me to the point, because people have the wrong perspective of what Christ is. And I'm going to share one story, and I get this all the time. On Sunday, after Minister Tolbert spoke, I had a relative of mine who was watching on Facebook call me. Now, the man preached an outstanding message. But do you want to know what our conversation was about? I think I got up there for about 6 minutes to give the closing remarks. And they wanted to know why I didn't have a suit on.
Oh, my.
That's what they wanted to know. And it was funny, so I said, you didn't hear the message. I said, did you hear anything that the young man said? Yeah, I heard him. It was a great message, but I'm just wondering, you know, you from, you know, you think your father would approve of you not having a suit on behind the pulpit. This was a conversation that I had with someone, and I'm like, you didn't see Jesus nowhere in that message. All you saw was me in a T-shirt and a pair of jeans.
Right.
And I'm wondering how many other people had that same thought, not just about me, but about anything else that they may have seen, that they didn't come to see Jesus. They were looking for something to have a negative comment. And again, it wasn't about me. It was about the message that was being preached.
Right.
And
right.
if you didn't get anything out of the message, then there's a problem. Even tonight, every time I do a Bible study or I preach, someone will call me up. They're not going to talk about the message. They're going to talk about the delivery. Well, you didn't say Zacchaeus right. It's okay. However it's for. And I'll listen to it. And then the Spirit would tell me they're not even trying to see Jesus.
Right, right.
They're not even trying to see Jesus. And we need to, and I'm just going to say this, and I'm done after this, and you can close this out. At Praise Tabernacle Church, we have to, if you call yourself a man, a leader of the church, I'm just talking to the men, we need to be more active. We need to be more active in our ministries. I ain't saying at the church, but we just need to be more active. There ought not be a week go by where we're not doing anything to give to see Jesus. And if we're waiting on the bishop to call you, I can't tell the bishop what to do because I'm not the Lord, but I wouldn't be calling nobody. If people are not willing to see Jesus for themselves and do what Jesus has called them to do, and if you're not willing to climb up in a tree to see Jesus for yourself, what makes you think I'm going to call you to do anything? Because when you get up there in the tree, people ought to see you. When you get up there in the tree, you ought to look different from everybody else, because everybody else is on the ground. And we got to climb up over things to see Jesus. So when people see you, they can see the fruits that you bear. They can see the severity of Jesus in you. But if you're never available, and you're not doing what God's called you to do, you on the ground. And I'm just being led by the Spirit to say that tonight. You on the ground. When you're doing what the Lord has called you to do, you're going to be climbing in a tree, and you're going to look unique by yourself in a tree, away from the nonsense. But if you're down there, you're part of the nonsense. I know people say, well, how you know what we doing? I don't know. I'm not supposed to know, because I don't have a heaven and a hell to put you in. All I know is we grow by the fruits. There should be some fruit behind what's going on. And I think that we're taking church for granted. We're taking the positions that we have for granted. God called me to preach. Well, preach. Preach. And I shared this with a few people. Evangelist Stanton, I'm done.
But through Chaos Talk and Blog Talk Radio, I got a call last week on a Thursday night, and it was from someone from London. And they said, Elder Oliver, we want to do a Bible study. And I know our time is different, but we want you to come on at like 2 in the morning just for us to do Bible study. Now, when he said it, I don't think, I just go with, okay. And then my wife is going out of town, and I'm saying to myself, who am I going to get to do this Bible study at 2 o'clock in the morning? Who can I call to do this Bible study at 2 o'clock in the morning? And the Lord said, if you got to ask some questions, you do it. So I had to do the Bible study at 2 o'clock in the morning. And it was so beautiful that I was able to do it. But the question is, could I have called anyone to do it at 2 o'clock in the morning? And one of the things I don't like to hear is, I'll get back to you. Let me think about it.
Right.
Because if you're called to do a ministry, you should be ready to go at any given time.
Right.
I told my wife this. When the pastor calls me, it's like a back phone comes on my phone. And when that back phone comes on my phone, I got to answer because I don't know. He might need me. I have to be available.
Not because we cool.
Not because he's a good people, but because he's the leader of the church. And when that call comes, I have to be ready and available. I can't give him, I'm not ready. I can't do it for a couple of reasons. Because I've been called by the Lord. And my father, as a pastor, it used to drive him crazy to have to call 4 and 5 different people to get an answer for something that they said they was called to do. And when I think about Zacchaeus going up into a tree, I'm talking to the saved folks now, are you willing to go up into the tree by yourself to see Jesus? Because if he called you, he's going to separate you from the nonsense. And he's going to tell you, this is where you need to go. That's all I got, Evangelist Stan. I hope everyone got something out of the message. If you didn't, take it with the Lord. But that's what the Lord gave me to give you. And again, I just want to thank Bishop, you know, just for allowing me to be on this team and to be able to teach on Tuesday night. This has been a privilege. It's been an honor. And I'm just going to be honest with you, Evangelist Stan. For the time we've been at Praise Tabernacle, and I can say this truthfully and faithfully, and I tell the pastors all the time, I thank him for being obedient to the Spirit and allowing me to do, because I was not nowhere where I'm. Everything in my life has changed for the better. It did a 180 financially, spiritually, with me and my wife relation. Everything is so much better. And it's just, we have peace. And we can tell when the devil's coming and when we're doing something like the devil wants to come up and wants to. And I can talk about it freely because I'm not going to give him nothing to hold over my head. You know, I went to church. Yeah, I had attitude on Sunday. You may not have seen it. But thank the Lord that Minister Tobert preached it right out of me because it wasn't about me. My wife was gone too long. I'm like, you gone too long. I had attitude. She would tell you, I caused an argument with her. I caused
because you had an attitude. She was gone.
Man, I don't know if anyone, she was gone from Friday to Monday. But it was too long for me. And I'm going to be willing. I caused the argument. You know how you force it? I don't know if y'all have ever done it. But as a man, we do this sometimes. We just cause the argument just to be arguing. Ain't got no make no sense. And when I hung up the phone with my wife, I had to immediately apologize because I knew I was wrong. I just wanted to fuck because I'm spoiled. She gets me spoiled. But it took my eyes off of Jesus. It took for a few moments. It took me. I had to get it back. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Evangelist. I'm done.
Amen, Elder. No, you're okay. Good, great lesson on tonight. Very reflective question that Elder posed to us. Are you willing to climb the tree to see Jesus? And, of course, that's only a question that you can answer. It's not about tradition. It's not about what you're used to doing. It's not about the person, but it's all about Jesus Christ. We don't want to get caught up in, you know, just because that's how we do it. Because God is not looking on the outside appearance anyway. He's looking on the heart. And that's what he's looking at, the condition of the heart. And on tonight, what is the condition of your heart? And the good news about it is we have the opportunity to invite Jesus into our lives on tonight at this very moment to change the condition of our heart. And the way that you do that is you just simply pray a prayer. Father, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of the living God. I believe that you died upon the cross for my sins, that you rose, and that you're sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on my behalf. I receive you into my life as my Lord and Savior. It's not complex. Like he was saying, it's not complex. It's very simple. And then you want to find you a church home that is ministering the Word of God. Begin to read your Bible. Begin to pray. And begin to grow that relationship with Christ. He will give you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. It's not about people. It's not about where you do that at. But it's all about Christ. And, you know, if you're feeling that tug on your heart tonight, that is Christ drawing you. If you're feeling that tug, that is Christ drawing you. We do have a email address. If you are feeling that tug, if you have questions, if you want to know what to do from here, you can email us at ptcforchrist@gmail.com. Once again, that is ptcforchrist@gmail.com. Email us. Let us know that you felt that tug, that you prayed, that you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you need a Bible, let us know that. If you have a testimony, if you have a prayer request, let us know that. Also, for our weekly events that go on Monday, we do have D&K Bible Break at 7 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio with our own Derek and Keisha Oliver. On Tuesday night, of course, is our Bible study at 7 p.m. On Thursday night is Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministries at 7 p.m. It is on Facebook Live and Blog Talk Radio. And then on Sunday morning, we have Live at the Tabernacle, 9 a.m. service at Praise Tabernacle. If you would like the address, you can email us at ptcforchrist@gmail.com, and we'll get that information to you. We hope that someone, even if just one person, got something out of the lesson on tonight. We are grateful to God that you saw Jesus, because it wasn't about Elder Oliver. It wasn't about me, but it's all about Christ. And as we close on tonight, we just give God praise, honor, and glory. We pray that he would keep you this week, that he would protect you and guide you and strengthen you. We pray that you would get to know him in a more intimate way through reading of your word, through praying, through studying the word of God. We pray that God would just guide and order your footsteps. And we close out with Matthew 28, 19 through 20. And it reads, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." In the name of Jesus, we give you God praise, honor, and glory. Amen, and have a great night. Goodbye.